Welcome to episode 12 of season 2. If you just joined, this is Maria at Maria the Arcane on Instagram, and I have the lovely Robin at Tired Witch on Instagram joining us today. You're always lovely.
Oh, thank you, madame. Thank you. So before we get into lunar phases for this week, Maria and I have a little announcement, a little brief announcement, which is that we are going to take the end of June and all of July off because I, as all of you know, am very fucking pregnant and I'm due to give birth anytime now. And Maria's working on a really serious project. And so between both of us having these major life things, we're just going to take a quick little break. But the upside is that we're still going to do part twos of the Patreon. So if you are a Patreon member, you will still get your answers, your questions answered. We'll still be doing that. Patreon will resume as normal. It's just for these episodes, we'll be taking a short little break and we'll be back the first week of August. So we just wanted to let everybody know so nobody's like, what the fuck?
Where's that new episode?
Yeah, what the hell? So that means that you guys are going to be missing a Letha episode. And so we're sorry, but that's how the cookie crumbles. Sorry about it.
I do recommend going back and listening to our previous one.
Yes, I do as well. Our last year's Letha episode, I think we had Steven as a guest. That sounds right.
I think so.
A witch's path. And I think that was a good episode.
Yeah.
I think that was a good episode too. What a great guest you had. Good job, Steven. But I do recommend you guys going back and listening to that because it was really good. And we promised that all of the other Sabbats will be covered this year. And when we come back, Maria and I are kind of mulling around the idea of doing some other fun little projects with you guys. So there's a lot to look forward to, I think. I know the break sucks, but it's necessary. Sorry. Not going to have a baby
big
on
life
my boob.
Changes.
I'm not going to have a baby on my boob while recording a podcast. That sounds crazy.
Oh, come on. My witchling was attached to me all the time. So,
I mean, in reality,
no,
that is probably what's going to happen. But I also would like to allow my cooter to heal a little bit before we're recording. I think that's fair.
I think that's fair too.
And with our part two of the podcast, it is only 30 minutes long, and so we both have agreed that that is much more manageable for us for that 6-week period, and then we'll be right back annoying all of you with our sexy voices. Mostly Maria's. Mostly Maria's. I sound like a cackling parrot. Anyway.
No, you don't.
I do, but you know what? I'm okay with that. So you're all the jabronis who are listening to it. So what does that say about you? Am I right? Oh my goodness. Okay, so what we're really here for, nobody cares about our break. If you have just joined us this week and then you've just found out that we're taking a 6-week break, I am sorry, but every week we cover upcoming lunar phases and sort of what that means for us magically, how we can use it and apply it to our lives. So the next moon that is coming up, so the upcoming lunar phase, is going to be on June 24th, which is the full moon in Capricorn. The energies that we are seeing with this are ones of being a little bit of type A, greediness, things like maybe being a little bit corrupt. This sounds horrible for Capricorns, and I want you guys to know that the majority of what I see with this moon is not that Capricorns are greedy or dishonest or corrupt, lacking structure. Instead, it's the exact opposite. And these are mm-hmm. the energies we are choosing to let go of for this full moon. So, mm-hmm. you know, if we are disorganized, if we're feeling a little greedy, if we are lacking accountability, Capricorn full moon is a great moon to focus on those energies and kind of combat them, because the Capricorn full moon is full of the things that Capricorns are great at, which is being organized, being a little bit type A, being, you know, honest and straightforward. And so these are the energies that we are combating, not that Capricorns are assholes or something like that. I don't want anybody thinking that that is what I'm trying to say. I can just hear it now. Actually, I'm a Capricorn and this is rude. Like, please.
Look, we all have negative attributes to our signs.
I don't. It's fine. So speak for your fucking self.
Okay, Cancer.
I've never actually cried in my life, so think about that. Actually, Maria went to my baby shower and you missed it. At the very end, Ash, who put it on, made mm-hmm. everyone tell me why I would be a good mom, and I bawled my fucking eyes out. So there's my Cancer trait, everybody. Yeah, so the sort of energies that we're looking at are going to be telling yourself that basically you're a badass, you've got this, mm-hmm. you can build yourself the structure and the stability that you need to move forward. You need to let go of sort of this negative mindset. I know how love and light mm-hmm. that sounds, but we can do spell work that tackles that. And we can do spell mm-hmm. work around things like focus, concentration, setting yourself intentions and goals that aren't really necessarily spell work, but it is still mm-hmm. intention setting and that sort of thing. So this would be the energies that I would focus on, focusing on letting go of the idea of being a failure or having mistakes, and instead finding the positive in the negative, making lemonade out of lemons.
Yahoo. I already feel so called out by this moon due to my project.
This moon is the day that I'm convinced I'm going to give birth. And I find that to be just
a full
truly...
moon birth?
Yeah. For whatever reason, like probably for like the last two months, I've been like convinced I'm giving birth on June 24th. Do not ask me why. I don't know. But I've just got it in my head that it's going to be June 24th, and here we are. So,
is that still Cancer or Gemini?
That's Cancer. Yeah, it's Cancer by three days. So it's like literally just in the Cancer season.
Look, I'm just hoping that maybe it'll be on the 18th. Then our like little witchlings will have the same birthday. And that would be adorable. Cute.
That would be so... Everybody wants me to have a Gemini. Everybody wants me to have a Gemini. My old boss like texts me every day, and my old boss also thinks that it's going to be a boy. I don't know what the gender is. So every day she texts me and she's like, is my Gemini son here yet?
I'm like, that is so cute.
Oh my goodness.
I'm excited.
Me too, actually.
So, if you just started listening to us, every podcast we talk about a tarot card. We go over the universal meanings and then our own interpretations of the cards, hearing other people's opinions, helps beginners form their own opinions, or even those who have been practicing for a while expand their views on other meanings. So, this week we're going to talk about the Six of Pentacles. On this card, you will see a figure standing over two others, handing them money. The standing figure looks a little more well-to-do than the others, and in his opposite hand that is giving money, he holds a scale. The universal key words are charity and giving and sharing wealth. So when this pops up in my readings, this can go one of two ways. It can show either receiving help towards our goals or giving it to help others towards theirs. Depending on the reading and the card positions, I sometimes have to pull an additional card to clarify which one, but most of the time it's pretty clear. But either way, like, this card talks about the strings that come attached when giving or receiving help. And if in a reading, this card is asking you, if in a reading, this card is asking you to reach out to ask for help, whether it be with like a service or even with a friend, there needs to be a balance that you'll have to pay. This payment doesn't always center around money and won't always be required from you upfront, but eventually you'll have to pay the piper one way or the other. Just because you're expected to reimburse this person or service doesn't mean you shouldn't move ahead with it. You know, community is such a big part of the human experience. If we can't do something on our own, we should, you know, definitely reach out to those in our community that are able to lend us a hand. But we also need to make sure that we aren't taking advantage of them and the service they're providing, that they are providing for us. If you're the one giving help to others, this card wants you to make sure that you're doing so in a balanced manner. You deserve to be compensated for your work and your time, and giving too much of those things freely will only hinder your own success. So how do you view this card, Robin, dear?
Well, this to me is always it's like the scales. It is two-sided. And it can go either way, which that you are either giving or you are receiving, but whichever position you're in, it is a position that you have to, I'm trying to think of the right word here. It's okay to need to be able to receive, and it's okay to give when you have too much. It's always okay either way. So accept your position in it. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that does make sense.
And so whenever I see this card in a reading, it does very much so depend on the cards around it contextually of whether you are in the giving or the receiving position. But it does tell us to kind of set your pride aside. So like, if you are in the giving position, this isn't for you to sit there and be like, oh, I'm such a good person because I'm helping somebody out. It's no, this is the right thing to do. And that's it. Like, you know, those people that like will give homeless people money and record it and post it on the internet. Do you know what I'm talking about? This is the exact opposite of that. Like, telling people that you did a good thing completely negates having done the good thing. Meanwhile, if you're in the position of needing to accept help, right? Setting your pride aside and saying, you know what? It is okay sometimes to ask for help or receive extra help because I actually really need it. And there's nothing wrong with that. And there's nothing shameful in that.
Yeah.
So that's how I see it. It depends very contextually, like I said, on which cards are around it, for what position that you are playing in this. But it is to me it is a giving and it is a receiving of humbleness. Either which way.
That.
Yeah. It's very balanced, I think.
Yeah.
So this week we are going to talk about something that's pretty near and dear to my heart. And that is using tarot outside of divination, using it outside of readings. I wrote an entire fucking book on this. this is the record, not my idea. This is Maria's idea to talk about this week. Okay, so even though You Should Go by Magical Tarot comes out June 22nd, you guys will love it. this is not my idea. Subtle hint plug. this wasn't my idea. This is Maria's idea, actually. So
it sounded like a good idea.
It is a good idea. It's such a good idea that I wrote a whole book on it. Oh my god. Okay, so where do we want to begin with this one? Why don't you start and then I'll go off of you.
Okay, okay. So I like to use cards as a way to set intentions for certain energies I want to call into my life. Like, I'll use the Empress when I need to be a little more self-loving, the Emperor when I need more boss-like energy, and Nine of Pentacles when I want to be shown the rewards for my efforts towards my goals. In order to call in this energy, I'll either put this card on one of my altars or I'll carry it with me. Altars are, you know, a powerful source of, like, concentrated magic and energy. Mm-hmm. I completely believe that the more that we utilize our altar and the longer that we have one, the more energy it gains. Mm-hmm. It is also like our portal to the connection to our guides and deities. So placing a card on the altar is letting them know what energy you are wanting to call forth, and the energy provided by the altar gives you a little bit more, you know, oomph towards that intention you want to, you know, mm-hmm. you want to chase it with, and you want to chase it with real world energy. And you do have to lay them down with intention, though. You just can't, like, lay them down willy-nilly. And mm-hmm. yeah, when I carry them with me, I usually stick them in a book I'm reading, that way that they don't get bent. And while you're reading your book, you can use it as a bookmark. You'll constantly be looking at it and remembering to invoke whatever it is that, you know, you want to call forth in your life whenever when you pick up the book. Mm-hmm. So how about you?
I completely agree with you in terms of, like, how much you use things, more energy gets there, etc. And I really believe that tarot cards are the exact same way. Mm-hmm. Like, I was actually just talking to somebody else about this morning, is that, yes, I have a million decks. We all know that. Shut up. Just get over mm-hmm. it.
Are you over it?
Is your husband over it? I'm fine. I only actually own one deck that I'll make.
Okay, Ross. Anyway. I'm fine.
This is fine. But I, even though I have a bunch of decks, I also only really frequent, like, two or three of them. And you can tell because, like, when I am doing divination readings, I connect with the deck so well that reading what it means and what the deck's trying to say is so much easier, etc. And it hasn't always been like that. This is a formed relationship over time. And and I don't have that necessarily in other decks. And because of that, I feel like that makes it such a powerful tool that you can use for anything. And like I've said in my book, God, I hate that we chose this topic for the break. I am so sorry, everyone. But like I said in my book, is that I firmly believe that once we understand the symbolism within things, and this isn't just with tarot, this is with any aspect of witchcraft, when you understand the symbolism and why things hold the meanings that they do, then you creating your own UPG becomes easy because it's just like art. If you understand the foundations of proportions, let's say, for drawing a figure, right? Once you understand how to do a figure properly, then you can bend the rules. Words are hard. You can bend the rules and start making things that are purposefully out of proportion that creates an emotion or feeling. And the same thing can be said with like any kind of magic. And because of that, tarot is so chock full with symbolism that once we understand why things have the meanings that they do, you can then reapply that information to your own UPG. And use it as a tool and use it in magic. You can use it in spell work. You can use it in, you know, setting intentions and making goals for the month. You know, you can have sort of your realization that, you know, maybe this month you need to focus on being temperance, right? And it's like, okay, so why do we hold the things we do with temperance? Well, we have the cups that are flowing back and forth. We have this angel. We have da 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 da, like all these symbols within the card. And so then you can take that information and retranslate it into spell work. So if you're doing a spell work where spell that you are saying, let's say you need to drink less, have more moderation, let's say, and we're using mm-hmm. temperance as the example for that, right? We can then mimic those symbols in our spell work. So maybe we're using two chalices in the spell work and you do the physical act of pouring liquid from one to the other in a symbolic gesture of, you know, diluting, watering down. Mm-hmm. Or you can put wine in the cups and physically water them down with water. You know, this is what I'm meaning, is that once we understand that symbolism, we can then reapply it elsewhere. And I think it makes us stronger readers. I think it makes us stronger witches, because people get so afraid. At least, and this has been my experience, people have been so afraid of not trying their own UPG and not trying things. And I'm not talking about things like chaos magic, but UPG is still important, and writing your own spells is very important. And mm-hmm. it's not going to be for everybody, but you have to start somewhere to see if it's going to work. You know what I mean? And as long as you're not doing mm-hmm. something super baneful, what are you worried about in terms of it backfiring? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. I definitely agree.
I know that was very ranty.
I'm on my soapbox. No, it wasn't. It was great information.
Thanks, Mom.
No problem, sweetie. So,
oh my gosh.
I like to use the cards like physically for spells, like mm-hmm. you know those super mini decks, and you know, like they're
wait,
like those.
Wait, when you say super mini deck, I want to understand that we're on the same page here. So do you mean a deck that like the one I keep in my purse that's like 2 inches, or do you mean like the keychain decks?
No.
Like the little
like the keychain, like it's so small. It's like for dolls. It looks like it's for like you're going to
place one, and I've never gotten one, and I love them so much. I love that that is exactly what you're referring to.
Hey, like if those were around when I was little, Barbie totally would have had one. Anyway,
Barbie would have been a witch.
Barbie already was a witch. She just didn't have a deck. But okay, so those decks, you can actually find them sometimes for relatively cheap. And or alternatively, you could just print off cards, and you could put them mm-hmm. in spell jars in lieu of a intention note, or even combined with one. And it's just, as I said, you know, it's the same thing as like putting it on your altar. You're calling forth that energy, and you know, it gives you something, a visual representation of your goal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I love doing that.
I also think it's very useful to have like, you know, this is the card that I'm in right now, right? Mm-hmm. So this is where I'm at. This is my call out card. This is where I want to be card. So you've got two of them there mm-hmm. as like, this is where my present, this is what my goal, and then doing spell work around that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I said, it's so full of symbolism that you really can kind of make it whatever you want to make it, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that people need to trust in themselves a little bit and be 100%. A little creative. Be creative. You know, I know that we've had many instances both in life and on Patreon where we've had people be like, well, I don't have this item. So like, what can I do? And it's like, well, mm-hmm. so let's think about that. Like, why is that thing connected with this? It's all about learning mm-hmm. the correspondence. So like, why is rosemary connected with purification? Well, if we understand like correspondence, we understand that purification with rosemary actually goes back to like biblical times, and it's mm-hmm. considered like the Jesus plant, and rosemary supposedly grows to be as tall as Jesus was, and then it dies. And
so, and it's a great disinfector too.
Yes.
So,
and so we understand this with the correspondence. So what other herbs, you know, are cleansing that predate this time? Well, then we look at things like hyssop, for example, which was used to cleanse, you know, Roman prayer. Oh, I can't think of the word. It's not a cathedral because they were Roman.
What? Temples?
Temple! What up? Hey, Maria. This is why I love you so much, because you just know exactly what I'm thinking.
Usually, I'm the one that's brain farting, so...
Oh, God.
It's
honestly
fine.
The closer I get to pushing this kid out, the dumber my brain is. It just made him mush.
The more you get closer to me, we'll be on the same level now. God. It's going to be nice.
This podcast in August is going to be just the two of us being like, I'm calling us both out now. So if we have these sort of things where it's like, okay, I don't have any rosemary, but I do have hyssop. Well, both of these like go back to biblical times. Both of them have similar meanings, etc. And this is how it becomes easy to make substitutions that aren't just, you know, flowers you can substitute with rose, herbs you can substitute with rosemary, etc., etc. Like, yes, you can do that. Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with that. But if you want to take it that step further and make it a little bit more personal and a little bit more understood, like, that's how you can do that. And the same thing I feel like applies with tarot. It's all about, I really am a firm believer that if people understand why we associate correspondences with, you know, their correspondence, that everything becomes really easy. It becomes this eye-opener. I mean, you even look at things like months of the year. Like, if you understand, like, why months have the names that they have, they're named after gods. Except for July and June, but they're named after gods, and like, why, like, what gods were they named after, and how then can we use that monthly energy that those gods are associated with for ourselves? And that is, of course, removing astrology.
This is
my, like, my hill to die on. Is just like nothing but like this wealth of like unnecessary correspondence information.
Oh, I love correspondences. I could talk about them all day. That's why I hoard resource books. Yes.
Yeah, you and your giant books of symbolism. This woman, I swear to God, like once a month texts me another symbolism book that she got, and she's just like, look at this.
I just think they're neat, okay?
I mean, I'm not judging you.
Oh, you're judging. I'm just kidding.
I am. I'm judging you. I'm just kidding. Ha ha. Got him. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my. But yeah, tarot's really, like, it's fun to use outside of readings and stuff like that. And, you know, as Robin was saying, it's just, it connects you with your cards. Yeah, it connects you even more.
If you're a witch on a budget, right, and you're like, I can't be going out and buying rue and Irish moss and athames and chalices and all this shit, right? You have a tarot deck. You've got, like, all the symbolism you need right there. In my opinion, do I encourage you to take it a step further if you want to? 120%. But they're, you know, I don't like the term intention is everything, because I think that's bullshit.
That is bullshit.
It is bullshit, because if you're just thinking thoughts, that's all you're doing. An intention without action is a thought. But you can take things like tarot that are so full of symbolism and have no other tools, absolutely nothing else. And then you apply that with the thought, right? The intention. Mm-hmm. And now you are doing spell work on a budget.
Yep.
You've done that. It, guys.
Good job.
I understand that, you know, I'm a dollar store witch myself. Like, a budget is a real life thing. But we can't, and especially like if you're in the broom closet or you just want to be discreet, like as long as you have a tarot deck, you have everything that you need. You just have to go that step further in learning what the tarot cards like mean symbolically, like the imagery mm-hmm. and the understanding to be able to utilize that tool, but that's free. mm-hmm. You know, I get a library card. Go get an awesome book from the library. You don't have access to a car to get to a library? Online, you can apply in most places for a library card, and you can get access to ebooks via the library mm-hmm. without ever having left your house.
So nice.
It's so nice. When I learned about that when I was in college, because I was like broke in college, that changed my entire life. Like... is when the Kindle first came out. I had the first edition Kindle and mm-hmm. ebooks were starting to be a thing, and it literally changed my life. And I think everybody should do it. So, and you're supporting authors all at the same time. So go do that.
Yes. Do it. So, Robin, what is stirring your cauldron this week?
Thank you so much for asking.
No problem.
So I'm going to do this, and I need everybody to just chill out, okay? listen, if you're listening to this, just calm down. You're being very loud right now. Got all my author copies in my book, and I got way more than I expected. So that's why I'm doing a giveaway on Instagram and TikTok. And that's what's stirring my cauldron right now. Having so many of my own book that I can just give some away. And I think that's so exciting.
And that's so cute.
So we just talked about my book in the last segment, but tough. Listen, I didn't pick the last topic of discussion, okay? I need to be what's stirring my cauldron right now, so suck on that. But I'm really excited, and they all showed up, and they're so pretty, and they smell nice, like new books, which is weird, I know. But it also means that my book's actually coming out on time this time instead of being delayed because of customs, and I'm just so excited for everyone to get a copy. Like, I'm so excited. I really am. And like the thing is that I know that not every book is going to be for every person, and I am okay with that. But for the mm-hmm. people out there that it is going to be for, I'm so excited, and I just really hope that they find it helpful.
I'm sure they will.
I know it's so corny, but it's true.
It's true. Your baby.
My book comes out on the solstice too. Isn't that exciting?
That is so exciting.
I know. I didn't even plan that. So, I am excited about that. But I think it'll be good. I hope so, at least. And if it's not good, well, then I'm going to run into the woods and you will never see this site again.
It's already doing amazing. Like, pat mm-hmm. yourself on the back.
I'm going to be like King Curtis. Do you remember that episode of Wife Swap? Did you watch that?
No, like I never watched Wife Swap.
10 years ago, 12 years ago. I don't watch Wife Swap either. I just remember the King Curtis thing. he was like this little kid, and he was just like, I'm leaving, and you will never see this face again. I remembered. I have memorized every single word from the King Curtis episode.
I actually do remember that line. I saw it everywhere.
Chicken nuggets is like my family. Yeah, so overall, that is what I'm stirring my cauldron with. I sound like a maniac. That's what's stirring my cauldron right now. I'm really excited. And Maria should get her copy in the next couple days, and I'm really excited about that as well.
I'm so excited. I'm going to make pretty videos and photos of it and splash it everywhere.
Thank you. I'm so excited. I just hope everybody likes it. And if you guys don't like it, that's okay. But don't email me and tell me that you don't like it. That's all I ask. Just don't email me and tell me that you don't like it. If you don't like it, you can leave me a bad review. That's okay. You know, your opinion is valid and welcomed, but please don't email me and tell me you don't like it, because then I will cry. Oh my gosh. So, Maria, what's not stirring your cauldron this week?
Oh, well, you remember me belly aching about spring, right?
I've never heard you actually complain about a single season at all. In fact, if I recall correctly, there was 3 days in November that you really like. So,
oh, those 3 days in November are so far away. Anyways, well, your girl is not a fan of summer either, especially southern summer. Well, it could be under like expensive conditions, you mm-hmm. know, by the beach at a fancy Airbnb for like an entire month, which I cannot afford. But, you know, I love, 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 love being outdoors and connecting with Mother Earth and Gaia. But during summer in the South, the process of going outside and being outside is just too much. If you want to go hiking, you have to put on a thick layer of sunscreen and mosquito repellent. And while you're outside, you're sweating your ass off. The humidity is so that it feels like you're trying to breathe in a sauna, you know, for an extended amount of time. And, you know, say goodbye to cute witchy outfits. Yes, yes, yes. I know that there are like cute witchy summer outfits, but if you look like you just got out of the shower because you were dripping in sweat, it kind of ruins it for me. So when I'm outside, you know, the last thing I want to look forward to is going back inside, but that's how like my train of thought in the summer. And like even when going out and looking at the full moon at night, you know, at night you're like, oh, it'll be better, you know, the sun is down, it's fine, right. But the humidity either gets so much worse or it stays the same. So you just sit there and try your best to enjoy it, but the incense isn't covering the scent of mosquito spray and your own, you know, sweat. And there's just like a puddle of sweat in the middle of your boobs. It's just not fun. I would ask if like, is it autumn yet? But, you know, that is known as the second southern summer. And I just...
Southern summer 2.0.
Yeah, it really is. Like, it doesn't start feeling like autumn, as I said, until November. And, like, late November. It's so frustrating.
That sounds awful and disgusting. And no, thank you. No, thank you. I went to Australia once in the summertime, and it was like humid like that. And I immediately got off the plane and got a humidity poisoning, like sickness. It's a thing. I didn't know it was a thing, but I'm from California where the air is dry. We do not have this problem. I'm not used to that. That sounds awful.
Yeah, it's... Yeah.
If I came out and visited you in the summertime, I would just die. That's what would happen. I would lay down and I would pass away.
You're like, let's go take you to do all the fun stuff while you're dying of heat exhaustion.
Call me and say, hey, I really want you to come out for this thing. It's in July. I'd be like, nope. I love you, but not that much. Thank you, but no thank you.
I just feel like everyone's trying so hard to act like they're having great summers while they're just there and miserable.
I think that some people are actually just that sadistic that they are having great summers. Like, I think that they're just that, like, just masochistic that they're like, this is good, actually. This is better, actually. So thank you.
Look, I like being able to, like, if it's too cold, like, add layers. You can't really, like, yeah, you can walk around naked, but I don't think that's really socially acceptable. And you might still be freaking hot.
Just do it. Fuck it. Get your cooter out.
Get your coos. Sun that butthole.
I've heard that getting vitamin D on your butthole is actually very good for you, so consider it. So, have you talked to Maria lately? Yeah, why? Has she told you about her butthole sunning that she's been doing? What?
No, come
again.
That's just too much.
It's the exact right amount. I don't know. Let's let the jury decide. Oh my gosh. So, if you are new this week, welcome. Hello. How are you? Every week we talk about creators that we are loving right now. This could be shops, Instagrams, other social media, books, art, blah, 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 that we just really like right now. And as I say every fucking week, stop sending us fucking messages being like, oh, I would love to be on your show. The latest one was somebody saying that they wanted to be on our show or whatever, and they were going to charge us. I sent you that, right? I deleted it. I sent you that though, right?
Yes.
Fuck
yes.
off.
Yeah, you did.
Like, these are just people that we think are cool and we think you guys might think are cool. Don't do that. Ugh, there's nothing wrong with you sending us something that you found that you think is cool that we might want to share. Awesome. But don't stop it. You need to stop it. You've been very bad.
Stop it. Just stop it.
So on that note, Maria, who are you loving this week?
So I am loving a deck, but it's not your average deck. It's not a tarot deck. It's not an oracle deck.
I'm not a regular deck. I'm a cool deck.
Exactly. It's called the Show Me Deck, and it's made by the Instagram handle Hand Me That Pencil. Very cute name. But
very cute.
It's just, these cards are so neat. Like, you're supposed to place them out, like, in a spread. You pick out the cards that you want to include in your spread. And it, like, one of them is, like, the subconscious thought, the environment, the emotions, and stuff like that. And you're supposed to lay your tarot card or oracle card over it. Mm-hmm. I just think that's really neat and innovative. Mm-hmm. And I want one.
I agree.
One.
I think it's really cool. And in the thing that you sent me about the deck in the first place, there's another deck on top of it that I think is really cool.
I know. It is really cute. I've never seen it before.
It's an oracle deck, I think. And I perhaps have it in my cart. Doesn't matter. Anyway. No, I don't. I don't, because I don't buy decks. Okay.
No.
That would be illegal. That would be a crime, actually. Who am I loving this week? Did I write this down?
Yeah, who are you loving?
I did write this down. It's Witching Hour, baby. Oh.
That's such a cute name.
Isn't it, though?
Oh, my gosh. Yes.
Hold on. I want to pull. Yes. Okay. So, listen, this is where my mom brain's at. I love this company. I looked them up. I was like, I'm going to share them today. And then as soon as I saw who I'm talking about, I was like, what are they again? Anyway, sorry. That's embarrassing. They are a shop, okay, like a store that is like spooky, like Salem-y, like goth mom shit. So they have stuff for kids and moms, and I think that's so cool. My personal favorite is they have this like teether
tool. I was like, just looking at that.
Is that,
I was
not
literally
the cutest shit you've ever seen in your entire life?
That
it's a crescent moon
so
teether
cute.
They also have like the lunar phases as like a puzzle board, and they have like cute little outfits for babies, but then they have a bunch of stuff for moms as well. And then they just have like really cool little trinkets, one of which I really want to get, which is a water, like, you know, those watering things for your plants that you put water in it and then you put it in the soil and it will like empty as it needs it. It's one of those, but it's shaped like a crystal. Like, so cute. Fucking cool. I've never seen any of this stuff before, and I just think it is the neatest. So yeah, that's who I'm loving this week. They even have like an Addams Family romper that looks like a little Pugsley, like striped romper thing. Oh my God. I sent that this morning to one of my friends and I was like, I should buy this, right? And they're like, yes, you should. So I'm probably going to do that, even though I have absolutely zero need for any more baby clothes. And hey, my husband is in the same room as me, and he probably is listening to this and is going to text me momentarily saying, absolutely not. But here's the thing. YOLO. You know what I mean?
Babies go through so much clothes. They can go up to like 3 costume changes a day.
Exactly.
So I mean, can you have enough? I mean...
This is what I'm saying, Maria. This is what I'm saying. So... Anyway, long story short, I definitely have a problem, and I think that this store is not helping it. So
let it not help yours too.
It's fine. Just... It's fine. And it's all really cute. So yay!
It's so cute.
Oh my gosh. Once again, thank you guys so much for joining us here today on this day. Wow. Thank you. As I said earlier in the episode, this is our last episode before a short break. I'm going on maternity leave and Maria is working on her top secret, very large project. But we will be returning the first week of August and we look forward to seeing you guys there. So that's like...
Yep. Yeah, and Patreon will continue on as normal, including our part 2 episodes. So if you are desperately missing our, you know, lovely voices, sensual. Join us on the casting tier. Oh, yes, sensual. But join us on our casting tier and up to get exclusive access to our part 2 episode. So again, this is Coffee and Cauldrons
with Robin from At a Tired Witch on Instagram.
And with Maria from Maria the Arcane on Instagram. You ready?
It's yeah. Ready? I'm like, I'm prepared.
Okay.
One, two, three.
Bye, witches.
Oh, third time recording that is the charm.